We have some new people here going, wow, that's an interesting way to start. Oh, good morning. I love this sing along. We're doing this series this summer called Songs of Summer. And every morning we begin with a little clip of a famous song that we all love and sing along to. And that's a good one. Although Matthew called me out. He's like, you know, like five words out of all these songs. You just mumble loudly to everything, you know, with passion. And that's true. And sway. Yeah. Well, I'm Amy, and if I haven't met you, I'm a pastor here at Ashworth, and I'm so glad to be here sharing this morning and continuing on in our series. And I just have to say, even this morning, I don't know, I'm just in my feels, like communion and watching my kids and watching all the people going and moving, and I'm just deeply grateful for this community of people. There is no other space that I have in the world where I have multi-generations, multi-ethnicities, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of even different ideas and philosophies of life, and we come together in this space, and we share life, and my kids know you, and I get to know you, and there's something just so profoundly beautiful about that. And sometimes I think we forget how beautiful and what a gift church is. And it's not just this space, but it's us, it's each other. And so I'm so grateful for you, grateful that I get to be a part of what's going on here. And I'm eager to share this morning from Psalm 72. So we've been going through many psalms all summer long, enjoying this Songs of Summer series. I'm planning on like August, I said we're gonna do a karaoke, Ashworth karaoke night. So if you're in, you let me know, okay? Yes, get it on the calendar, thank you. So yeah, we could do a live band karaoke. Forget, let's devote a whole Sunday morning to that. And that's my kind of church. So this morning as we begin, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to reflect, and I want you to think about a manager, a supervisor. Now, before you get stressed, a good manager, a good supervisor, a good boss, think about a time in your life, whether it was, you know, your work or in a church setting or maybe a volunteer setting, where you had a leader that was really helpful and really a gift to you, where you had a really positive experience with a leader. Just take a minute and think about it. It might be hard to think about. Some of those are, sometimes we have more negative than positive experiences in those settings. But think about what were the characteristics or the qualities in that person or in that leadership that really meant something to you. And then call them out, shout them out.
Steadfast.
Steadfast, yeah. Appreciative, yes.
Caring.
What'd you say?
Caring.
Caring, yes.
Believing.
Believing it, somebody who believed in you, yes.
Real.
Real, yeah, authentic. We talk about that a lot here.
Understanding.
Somebody who has your back, yes. Maybe I heard other ones. Did somebody else say one back there? Meet you where you're at, yes, yes, meeting you where you are. I was thinking about it, a leader that I had. You know, I could go on and on about my boss here, but we'll save that. But I was thinking about a leader that I had years ago who apologized when they did something wrong. And not just to me, but to like a group of us. And said, actually, the decision I made was more for my benefit than yours. And I feel the impact of that. Isn't that profound? A good leader, a righteous leader, a leader who leads in a way that we need and that benefits us and that promotes our flourishing, it's hard to find that. And when we have them, we remember. And we also remember when we don't have that. And in Psalm 72, the psalm we're gonna talk about this morning, you see a leader, a prayer for a leader, a prayer for a righteous leader, for a just leader, for the kind of leader that we all wanna be led by. So what was happening in Psalm 72, we've been hearing a lot from David in the Psalms, and this psalm comes when David is nearing the end of his reign as king. He's been ruling and reigning, and now it's time for his son Solomon to take over. And so he begins to pray for his son, and there's debate over who actually wrote Psalm 72. Was it David's prayer? Was it Solomon's prayer? because it actually says that it's of Solomon. Is it by Solomon or was it to Solomon? We're not sure. And even at the end of the psalm, it talks about the end of David's prayer. So there's some debate. It doesn't really matter. But what we do know is that this psalm is a prayer for Solomon's leadership. He's about to take kingship from David. And either David is praying this or Solomon is praying this, or there honestly, there would have been a lot of people praying this for Solomon's leadership. In fact, this prayer that you'll hear in this psalm this morning was a prayer that was read and spoken and prayed over many kings when they took leadership, when they took kingship over the nation of Israel. So what would happen is, you know, they would be coronated as king, and then this prayer would be read for them. This prayer would be read on behalf of them. And so I'm just going to begin. We're going to go through this psalm, this prayer in chunks this morning. It begins in verse 1, Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness. So he's praying, God, give Solomon, give this new king the kind of justice and righteousness that you have. May he judge your people with righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. These first four verses in this prayer for this new kingship of Solomon is praying for the king's character. It's saying, we want a king. God, we long for a king who's marked by righteousness and justice. That's a rare thing. Amen? Yes. We long for a king who defends the afflicted, who saves the children of the needy, who's creating this kind of rule and reign that's actually a rule and reign where the vulnerable are the most protected and the vulnerable are cared for. That would have been such a contrast to what was happening in society or what happened with most kings. In fact, typically with most kings through Israel's reign, and honestly in modern day, is that most kings usually protect the oppressors, right? Rather than crushing the oppressors, they protect the oppressors. And he's saying here, we're praying for a king who protects the most vulnerable, the most needy among our society. It goes on in verse 5, may he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and his prosperity abound until the moon is no more. Now, some of you, we always talk about this. We're not preaching the prosperity gospel. So you hear the word prosperity and you get a little nervous. It's not about prosperity in like that, you know, everybody has riches, but the prosperity word here is used twice in this psalm. And it's actually more closely translated to shalom, the word shalom, which means is a much more encompassing word. It means kind of the wholeness or the peace of the people, the peace of the nation, and that things are the way they're intended to be by God. So imagine it's actually saying, in his days may the righteous flourish and may things be the way they should be. May peace abound until the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. Yeah. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. So these first four verses were about praying for the king's character. Now we see this is a prayer for the king's influence and authority, saying, let this king be one whose impact is far-reaching, one whose influence is wide and broad. You know, when this king is in power, we want to see flourishing and peace, and it's everlasting. It goes on forever, and it's far-reaching. It goes to all people. Just even that image of the earth being soaked with the rain and just when this king is ruling and reigning, the earth is experiencing life and flourishing and thriving. Things are growing and thriving. And it's everywhere. It's from sea to sea, from the ends of the earth. And then in all these nations, other kings would respect and bow down to this king. That's a high prayer. I mean, wow, you really think that's gonna happen? You know, the king, they reference in this psalm, Solomon and David reference the king of Tarshish. You know who that is? I was thinking about where do I know that name from? It's from Jonah. That's Jonah tried to flee to Tarshish. when God had invited Jonah to go and minister in Nineveh to these people that he didn't like, that were very different than him, what does he do? He flees, or he attempts to flee to Tarshish. And the reason he attempts to flee to Tarshish is because it's far away. It's a very distant land. You know, it talks about the distance, even the kings on the coasts from distant lands will know and acknowledge this king and trust his authority. And there's just this image or this picture in these words that the impact of this king is so far-reaching. Can you imagine? Like, the king here, the king in this tiny little place, you know, is actually influencing and impacting nations in distant places. They're feeling the impact of his authority, and they honor him and bow before him. The psalm continues, "For he'll deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He'll take pity on the weak and the needy, and he'll save them from death. He'll rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight." How unlike most kings. Leading with compassion, leading with the people at the margins being the people who are most cared for, a king that has influence. We just heard about, you know, the prayer for this king is that he would have incredible authority, that he would have incredible influence. I mean, the level of power that they're praying for this king is that he would be the king of all kings that other people bow to. And this king, what does he do with his influence and his power? He uses it. He leverages it on behalf of the poor, on behalf of the needy. How rare is that for a leader, someone with authority? I think about the quote about power corrupts, or absolute power corrupts. Power corrupts absolutely. That's what we see over and over, isn't it? That's what we experience. That's what we think of. That's what we hear in these stories of the kings all through the Old Testament, that power corrupts, but not with this king. The prayer they're praying for this king is that he has authority, he has power, he has this expansive kingdom, and that he uses his power and his authority on behalf of those who need it, on behalf of those who need a voice, on behalf of those who need someone to advocate for them. I think you might know where I'm going with this. We're praying for Solomon, but who is this prayer actually about? Yes, always the right answer when you shout Jesus, yes. It's about Jesus, it's so clearly about Jesus. And as you start reading this psalm, or as I was reading it this morning, it probably didn't take you long to realize, like, oh, this is a lofty set of expectations for a king. When they're praying this for this king, Solomon is not gonna fulfill these. He does some of these things, but he's not gonna fulfill all these things. These are not attainable for Solomon's kingship. They're really not praying for Solomon, though they think they are. They're really praying for this expansive, far-reaching, powerful, beautiful kingdom where the low are raised up and where all people flourish and thrive. Who are they praying to and for and about? Jesus. This is a messianic psalm. This is one of the psalms that points us to Jesus, and I was so thankful that I got this psalm, because, man, I've been wanting to talk about Jesus. You know, we're in the Old Testament all summer, and he points to Jesus. The Old Testament always points to Jesus, so don't hear that I don't like the Old Testament. I do. It always points to Jesus, but we see it clearly in this passage, don't we? You just begin to read, and you're like, oh, I know this king. This isn't King Solomon. This is King Jesus. This is far beyond what Solomon could ever accomplish. And it's beautiful because remember that God had made a covenant with David saying, my kingdom will come. My kingdom will be fulfilled through your descendants. And surely Solomon's like, yeah, that's me. No, it wasn't Solomon. It was the ultimate heir, the ultimate son of David, King Jesus. And that's what we see in this psalm. This king will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He'll take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He'll rescue them from their oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. We just saw a picture of that this morning as we did communion, that he rescues us from death. And how interesting that it says how precious is their blood in his sight. And what does he do? Because our blood is precious in his sight, he spills his blood on our behalf. Who are they praying for? They are praying for Solomon. They're longing for a good king, but really in their deepest longing, they're longing for King Jesus. We see the characteristics and the qualities of Jesus so clearly here. He's marked by compassion. He uses his authority and his position to protect and defend the most vulnerable. What other king does that? The weak and the needy and the afflicted, who've had so little value in this culture, are now elevated, are now seen. Jesus says, Jesus would say, it's not Jesus in this psalm, but saying, they're precious in my sight. They're praying for this king to see those folks as precious. This is an inaugural prayer for King Solomon, and it makes me think of an inaugural address in the New Testament when Jesus becomes king. At Jesus' coronation, you know, where he's crowned in the river as he's baptized and the Holy Spirit comes down, and then he goes into the temple and he begins to preach. And what does he say? Luke 4, 18 through 19 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's Jesus talking. Sounds a heck of a lot like that psalm, doesn't it? That is Jesus. That's his inaugural address. He's saying, these are the things I'm going to care about. These are the, we're in the like political season all over the place right now. This is Jesus' platform. These are the things I care about. I'm laying this out for you. And it's a little bit scandalous and it might make you mad, but these are the things that I am working on behalf of. We see it again in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Same thing. He gathers all these people and he's like, okay, here's what we're doing, okay? Here's the qualities and characteristics of my kingship and of my kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These were and are and continue to be Jesus' priorities. This is King Jesus' rule and reign. And we see that. My heart can't help but be drawn to that. In Psalm 72, when I read it, I just rejoice. Oh, Jesus, this is you. This prayer for a king, this prayer for Solomon is fulfilled in you, Jesus. So different than the kings of the time. So different than the kings today, amen? The psalm goes on, long may he live, may gold from Sheba be given him, may people ever pray for him and bless him all day long, may grain abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills may it sway, which is funny because you can't have things growing on hills and mountains, wheat doesn't grow up there, but it does in God's kingdom. It's that picture of flourishing, of thriving in the places where there should not be thriving, there is thriving with this king. May grain abound through the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him. Does that sound familiar? There's the Abrahamic blessing in there that all nations will be blessed through him and they'll call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. This final chunk that we see here in the psalm is a prayer of exaltation. So we see the beginning of the psalm shows us the prayer of the character of Jesus and who Jesus is. And then it goes into the prayer of his influence and his authority. And now we see this beautiful prayer of exaltation. The prayer saying, oh, we pray that this king would be blessed, that this king would be praised, that this king would do all these things that allow for flourishing and thriving, and our response would be to bless him. This is a prayer. This is an exaltation of a king that is not like any other king. And we know whose name is actually exalted and blessed and honored above all kings, King Jesus. This is a prayer for a leader like no other. No leader, no king could fulfill this prayer. It's not possible. It's not attainable. It's like the song that we started with, imagine all the people. Like, okay, John Lennon, thanks. It's not going to happen. Especially the way he did it. You know, he wrote the song to be like, imagine there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no God. You know, thanks, John. Appreciate the song, though. But isn't that funny? We have this utopia of like, that is so impossible, that people would be united, that all people would flourish, that people could thrive, you know, that all nations would have peace and rule and reign where there's justice and righteousness. But it is possible with our King Jesus. Amen. In the reign of King Jesus, there is justice and righteousness. There's shalom and wholeness and peace that rule the land. In Jesus' reign, there's flourishing and thriving and abundance. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The nature, I love all the scenes of nature in here. It's nature and people, like Steve talked about last week. He preached, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We see it in the physical earth and in the people as well. And the king that has all this influence, Jesus, who has all authority and power, he doesn't just give it to a few or hoard it for himself or for his own benefit. But when he rules, the overlooked and the cast out and the most vulnerable have a voice, and they flourish too. All people, all nations, all the nations are blessed through him. Tim was just telling me this morning, he was reading a book or listening to a podcast or something by Trevor Hudson, who's an author I really like. And he just said simply this, the kingdom of God is creation healed. That's the picture you see in this psalm. The kingdom of God is creation healed, the flourishing and thriving of all people. When they're praying for Solomon, when they're longing for Solomon and that kind of leader, they're longing for Jesus. They're praying for King Jesus. Do your hearts resonate with that? That's how I felt this week reading this psalm over and over. I'm like, oh, this is the longing I have for the leadership of our country. This is the longing I have for the leadership of our world. This is the longing I have for the world around me. That picture, the Trevor Hutt, the kingdom of God is creation healed. Don't you long for that? It's so fitting for our world right now. There's so much turmoil. There's so much pain. There's so much division. There's so much grief. And when we long for peace and righteousness to reign, we're not praying for Solomon. We're not praying for an earthly king. We're praying, King Jesus, come and rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. And I think, I've had a lot of conversations even over the last few weeks. People are discouraged and mad and hurt and worried. And that's okay. There's like an element of that. That's just real life. But we have to remember that our longing for King Jesus to lead, it is for Jesus, not an earthly leader. And when we long for him to lead and for flourishing of all people and all nations to experience shalom the way things should be, we have to remember that Jesus' rule and reign is here right now. It's not just something that we wait for and long for when that day comes. No. We hear about it in this psalm that his kingship endures forever. It was, it is, and it is to come. So that means that the rule and reign of King Jesus is still here today in our midst. What hope that gives. Solomon never really did all of these things. He did some of them, actually. He was a pretty good king. He did rule with justice and righteousness for much of his life. But he also took like literally like 1,000 wives and concubines and allowed all that to influence him. And he began to walk away from God and abandon the wisdom of God. That we all, when we think about Solomon, you think about the wisdom of God. He abandoned the wisdom of God at the end of his rule and reign. He erected idols and worshiped other gods. And that happens over and over. If you go, you know, just for casual light reading this week, go read 1st and 2nd Kings, and you'll see all the kings that did the same thing. They start out strong, you know, with the wisdom of God and leading justly and leading fairly and leading rightly, and then they abandon God's wisdom. And each and every king falls short. And it's still true today in our culture. Amen. Each and every king falls short. But like I said, good news is we serve King Jesus. We are shaped and influenced by King Jesus, by that Sermon on the Mount, by the things that Jesus is formed by his platform. Those are the things that shape and mold us as we follow him. And as we follow him, his kingdom lasts forever. Long after we're gone, he was here long before we were here. He was, he is, and he is to come. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon I found this week. He said, "We see on the shore of time the wrecks of the Caesars, the relics of the Moguls, and the last remnants of the Ottomans, Charlemagne, Maximilian, Napoleon, how they fit like shadows before us. They were and they are not, but Jesus forever is." Amen. And how is Jesus, how is King Jesus ruling and reigning forever among us? Through us, through his people. That's how he rules and reigns among us, is through his people. We are a people who become like our king. So as you, I would encourage you this week, get out Psalm 72, read through it again and again. God, let that be a prayer for you. God, I want to be shaped by this. This is Jesus. We want to be a people who are shaped by our King Jesus, not a political ideology, not a leader in our culture, but Jesus, a person who lives out justice and righteousness, not just a person, a community as a church, who live out justice and righteousness, who care for the least of these in our community, who work for the thriving and flourishing of all people. And whether, and we do that. I was just talking to Lynn this morning. She showed me a big old bruise on her arm from like moving the wheelbarrow in the garden last week. Some of us have been getting up and on Wednesday nights and just walking up the street and going to the Faith and Grace garden to harvest and to help the plants flourish. Because those are the plants and those are the, that's food that goes to folks in our community who need food. And that is being shaped by Jesus, by King Jesus. That's what King Jesus cares about, right? We give monthly, we give regularly to our local food pantries because people being fed looks like Jesus, right? We started the learning center on this wing of the church because people being educated and getting an kids getting an education, kids getting love and cared for and at a reduced rate and vulnerable families in our community getting what they need, that is like King Jesus. Those are the ways that his kingdom continues to rule and reign in our midst. And I don't know what it is that you do. You know, maybe you do support the work at our learning center. Maybe you have things that you're committed to in your neighborhood. We're going to ask you this week and next, we're going to ask you to consider donating items that are for teachers in our community, teachers in our church here who have students, who have needs. Those are ways that we continue the kingdom of our King Jesus on earth now, because the King Jesus does rule and reign today. Amen. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm stuck now. I need to close. Here we are at 10 o'clock. But what I want you to hear above all else is we're just like these people. We pray for our Solomons. We pray and we long for our leaders to be just and righteous and to do the work that earthly kings just don't do. And we do long for that, and that's okay. Please pray for that. Pray for that and long for that. But know in your heart of hearts, your longings are actually for Jesus, for King Jesus. And lean into him. Let him shape you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Amen? God, we love you. You are a king like no king. And it's so easy for us to just like look to all of our earthly leaders and earthly authority, and we have this longing for you, but no one fulfills that, Jesus. Only you. And you do that through your people. So God, would you make us more like you? Would you make us look like you, King Jesus? People who have justice and righteousness, people who use our authority, our influence on behalf of people in need. We long for more of you, and we long to be like you, Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.